We're here for 506 on Breaking Bad, our recaps for the Better Call Saul show that we're going to do in about 2 weeks, Kelly. My name is Mike. I'm here with Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Hey, so yeah, we're a couple weeks away from Better Call Saul, and we're coming down to the end of our Breaking Bad coverage. Here's 506 buyout. But Kelly is from Better Call Saul Fun Facts and Breaking Bad Fun Facts. Kelly, do you have any cool fun facts right off the top for buyout?
Well, as soon as we get into the first scene, I actually have something really interesting, so I'll let you take it. But yeah, there's a couple cool things about this episode I'll share.
Okay, so we're talking a little bit about our format for Better Call Saul. We're going to be doing Better Call Saul a day or two after each episode airs, which I think is on Mondays, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
We'll probably do it Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever. But we will have a spoiler section in Better Call Saul. We have no semblance of a spoiler section on our Breaking Bad coverage, our recaps here. So if you haven't watched Breaking Bad and you don't want to be spoiled, you shouldn't listen to these episodes, because we talk about everything and anything and project and remember and all that stuff. So this is 506 Buyout, and it starts, Kelly, with the eerie disposal of Drew, the kid who got shot at the end of Dead Freight. Really creepy, really creepy beginning to this show.
It was very creepy, the way that they had the bike coming out of the dirt, and yeah, the whole thing was really quite scary and disturbing. But there was one error, again, with Vince Gilligan being the, you know, a stickler for accuracy, is that the components of that bike would not have dissolved in the acid, or at least that's what they were saying.
Yeah, the plastic of the bike would not dissolve with the hydrochloric acid, because it's held in plastic containers.
Right.
But so what? Still, yeah. So cool. The way the music, it was just so somber and creepy, and the hand in the dirt. Oh, man.
Oh, that's right. Yes. It is. It was very, yeah, disturbing. Just also knowing that it was a child.
And then all the stuff we've been talking about with Lydia and not knowing what happens to me as the mother of my daughter, she won't know what happens, or the child being lost, the parents won't know what happens. These parents will never know, Kelly, what happened to this kid. If they're going to melt him, they're going to melt him out of existence.
Yeah, that actually bothered me, and I almost thought that maybe Jesse would just like do an anonymous tip from a phone somewhere, but they never showed that. But you know, Jesse's such a little, has a heart for kids.
Yeah, so we talked about spoilers and how we'll be more careful with Saul. We'll make a distinct boundary between the regular podcast and the spoiler section of the podcast for Better Call Saul on February 8th. But Kelly, isn't there a scene later on in Breaking Bad here where Jesse wants to give his money to Drew's parents?
Yes.
And does he? Does he ever connect with them, or does that get blown up?
I don't remember anything being solidified that he did.
So for all we know, Drew Sharp's parents never know what happened to him.
No, they'll never know what happened to him.
Creepy. Man, that is so creepy.
Yeah, it's very sad. Because, you know, he goes out all the time and does his motorcycle stunts and stuff out there. They don't think anything's going to happen to him.
Yeah. I have a hard time just sitting on that as a viewer.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true to the story, but it's just so disturbing. Mm-hmm. So disturbing. Then next we see Todd. Here's cheerful Todd in his psychopathic way. Just says, well, shit happens. And Jesse just smacks him in the face.
Yeah, he's just trying to make small talk. Like, oh, you didn't tell me you smelled like cat piss. You know, like, okay, well, you can see Jesse's hand just shaking.
Yeah. Now, now that's the methylamine, though, right? Cat piss smell, probably.
Yes.
Not the hydrochloric acid to dissolve the body.
Yeah, remember when Saul was trying to find them places to cook, and they were saying that stuff would smell like cat piss and it would ruin the tortillas?
Yeah, good catch. But anyway, Todd's just a psychopath. There's no other way to describe it. And that blurs into the credits. That's the first scene for Buyout. But we cut right back, and Todd's explaining himself. And here, we talked about this last episode, I think, Kelly, but he was being a good criminal. He was, you know, he explains himself. The facts are there, and the facts are all on his side. They didn't know if this kid would just take off, and then that would be a huge loose end.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just, it is disturbing, but Todd's probably right.
Yeah, I like the way that Todd also mentions that he's going to have to sell himself, and he mentions that he's got the uncles, the prison connections, and you hear Walt say, well, are those going to be a problem? And Mike says, no, they're not going to be a problem, and, you know, as we all know, they become a huge problem.
Yeah, another crack in Mike's armor.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's slipping, I'm telling you, man. But another cool thing Todd, or one thing we learn about Todd, or we didn't know it exactly right now, but we will learn it, is Todd says, it's not like I wanted to, but later on we see with his Uncle Jack and his other cousins and people around the Criminal Jack gang, he was proud of this action. He did want to. He smiled when they recounted it later on in a few episodes ahead of this. He was happy when they were remembering this scene.
Well, he's grown up with a bunch of corrupt uncles and family members and Nazi gang members, and you know, he's probably been dealing with this stuff since birth. So, yeah, when he was boasting to them at Denny's in a future episode, he was very proud of what he did. You're right.
So, Kelly, this whole thing with Jesse and Todd, this is a really kind of a crazy bit of foreshadowing, I thought. On the rewatch, it struck me. Of course, there's no way to know it during the first time you watch it, but Jesse wants Todd out. No ifs, ands, or buts. He wants him out. And if he would have gotten him out, he would have saved himself a whole lot of heartache and pain and misery. But Jesse wants him out. Walt's trying to be middle ground reasonable, criminally reasonable maybe, but he's just weighing all the options. One is we fire Todd and we keep paying him, and that's not very palatable. Number two is they just kill Todd, and number three is they keep Todd and keep him in the gang. What did you think about those three choices, Kelly? Which would have you have voted for?
Well, I think that kicking him out's not going to be an option, because he could always go back to his criminal family and they could, you know, take repercussions. You can't exactly kill the guy. And I think Walt really wanted to keep him because, just like Lydia, he sees things in people like Gus saw in Jesse, and he can see the kid's got guts. He's a lot more brazen than Jesse ever is. So he could actually work out in his favor.
Yeah, there was actually in the wiki for Breaking Bad, there was a comment by a viewer. I know you like the same wiki I do, Kelly, so I don't know if you read this or not, but this guy named Guyruk is his message name. But he makes a parallel between Breaking Bad and the Treasure of the Sierra Madre for this episode of Buyout. Did you ever see that movie with Humphrey Bogart?
No, uh-uh.
It's a really cool old movie from like 1940s, 1948, I think. But here, let me just read it, and here's what he says. He says, when Walt, Mike, and Jesse are discussing Todd's future role in their meth business, there seems to be many similarities to the scene halfway into the movie where Dobbs, Howard, and Curtin are discussing Cody's role in their search for gold. In both cases, there are three main characters and one outsider who wants in, with the lead actor, Walter and Dobbs, being anti-heroes. Furthermore, in both cases, the group is presented with three fundamentally different choices, which they have to choose from in order to move forward. And this is the exact same thing that happens in Buyout. They have to either let this guy in, kill him, or pay him off to stay away. And I think it's another culture hound, Vince Gilligan, referring to probably a movie that he really liked with Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Sounds like something he would watch, for sure.
And then this guy continues on with his notes here. Vince Gilligan has previously stated that Treasure of Sierra Madre is one of his favorite movies and may very well have inspired the scene in Breaking Bad. And then he goes on a little bit farther, but I think it's really cool how Gilligan references these iconic cultural parts of media. It's a pretty cool famous movie, one of Humphrey Bogart's most famous movies, and it's old. And Gilligan loves those old westerns.
He does.
Anyway, I'll put a link to it in the show notes so people can read this guy's comments if they want. So here's Mike again being wrong about Todd. He says he's just flexing his muscle. He's just trying to become part of our gang, and he doesn't really have that much power. He's wrong, man. He's wrong about that. He's going to be a that link to Jack and his gang is a critical part of the rest of this series.
Do you think that Walt had any idea in his head when he mentioned it because of the guys that were in prison that might be beneficial to him?
It's an interesting question. Like when Walt says, "Do we have anything to worry about?" You think he might have been thinking, can I really use these guys for nefarious means?
Right, exactly.
Maybe. That's a great question. Maybe. What do you think?
Well, Walt's always 10 steps ahead of everybody. So, you know, again, I think he will look for any benefit someone can bring him. And when he said that about them, he may have thought, because he just talked to Lydia about it and was worried about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great question. So, Kelly, put on your philosophy hat here. Todd keeps the spider. What's the meaning of that spider?
Well, I think I agree with you what you said, that, you know, it's got something to do with keeping Jesse in that little prison.
Think it has anything to do with the earlier themes of Walt adopting the people that he kills, the characteristics of the people that he kills?
It could be. I mean, I know that it's got to mean something negative, but that's actually another good theory.
Yeah, because the spider didn't really further the plot when Drew Sharp picked it up. He could have just been riding around, but they put the spider in there for some reason. I don't know. I can't figure it out myself. I thought you might have a take on it. So next we see the DEA watching Mike with Kaylee in the park, his granddaughter. And Mike knows they're watching him, right? He does the fuck you note under the garbage can.
Yeah, he does. I love him because he's salty. But one thing Jonathan Banks did say is he didn't agree that he would have left his granddaughter in the park like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a question for you about that when we come across that in that episode, too. But we'll get to that. It's not. I don't even think it's in this buyout episode, but we'll get to that someday. So Mike listens into Hank's office from the bugs in his car, and he is hearing them say that Ermentrout's going to fuck up. He's going to slip up. And he nods. He knows they're right. He's going to slip up. That was cool, too, I think. That his ego wasn't so big that he would say, screw you, you're never going to catch me. He, like, agrees. It's like, you're right, I better get out.
Right, yeah, because he's getting tailed. I mean, everywhere he goes, he's got people on him. He can't exactly be up to all this illegal activity.
Yeah, he's getting tailed. He's got closer scrutiny than ever, and he's wrong about a bunch of stuff. That this is Mike Ermentrout, man. He's the wolf. He's the cleaner. He's not supposed to be wrong about anything. And he's wrong about a lot, so it's time, I think, for him to get out. So where are we here? Mike, or Marie and Skylar talk about the kids, and now Marie and Skylar talk about this guy, Peter, this psychologist that Skylar has, and she still doesn't drop a last name. They've got their story together on this thing with this psychologist, Peter. So Marie talks about her Dave psychologist, and she asks about Peter, and Skylar almost tells her, Kelly, she almost spills it. She looks pretty close to being on the fringe of just breaking down there.
She really does. And Marie can be, you know, quite the motherly type of person where she can get things out of people, but, you know, then it gets all screwed up with suddenly now it's all Skylar's fault because of her affair.
Yeah, Marie's an idiot. She's a freaking idiot. But she does come close. Skylar does say, well, the kids aren't safe from her and Walt. And I think, Kelly, I think Marie wants to know more just out of being nosy. I think she just wants to know out of being nosy more than she really wants to help. She's just nosy.
Well, Walt told her about the affair, and she's her sister, and yeah, she's always been nosy, so yeah, she's definitely trying to get information, but of course, Skylar had no idea that Walt had told her that, so then in the end, she's just like, yeah, okay, great, I'm getting blamed for this too.
Well, that wakes Skylar up. This is, mm-hmm. She stupidly still thinks it's Ted, Marie does, and this wakes up Skylar, I think.
Right.
And so Skylar just lets her stupidly continue to believe that.
What other choice does she have?
Yeah, it's a good out for her. I think she's relieved that, oh, good, she, you know, she's a pain in the ass. I'm glad she just thinks it's that. So they're cooking at another site, and Walt and Jesse are, and they see a TV report about Drew Sharp on the television. And this really haunts Jesse. This really gets to Jesse. Walt shuts down the TV, and he tries to tell Jesse how much he cares, and he kind of fake helps him, right? He doesn't really care. He doesn't really want to help him, but he kind of fakes him out. He's like, I can't sleep either. I'm a parent. I'm a dad too. All that bullshit. That was kind of hard to listen to.
It's ridiculous. It was that was the dumbest thing. He was had absolutely no remorse, and you can see that he goes off while Jesse's goes to change. He's whistling, like, completely uncaring about the fact that Drew Sharp was murdered.
Yeah, he says, like, well, let's just do it our way from now on. One more year. We don't have to put up with bullshit like people like Todd. That was weak. But you know what he was whistling? He was whistling Lily of the Valley.
Oh, yeah.
There's a song, Lily of the Valley.
Yeah, you could see how Jesse just kind of looks at the curtain like, this guy doesn't give a shit.
Right, he's all remorseful. Then I come down and he's whistling his merry way to work. It's like bullshit.
Right.
So over at the Vomino's Pest place, Mike wants out. He's laying down his final deal. He wants out. Jesse wants out too, but Walt doesn't hear Jesse, but he's glad that Mike's wanting out. Mike says the DEA is following him even more closely. And, you know, Walt should give Mike more credit. Like, so did you lead them right to us right now? Did they follow you right to here? Like, no, at least I know better than that.
I disagree. I would have been right with Walt. Like, you can be really good, but you've been slipping, and you kind of think that you're better than you are, and they could have easily have followed him. He doesn't know he shook him completely, and that is such a big operation for them to get busted for. I would have been nervous, too.
Maybe. I don't know. I think Walt just hates Mike so much at this point.
He does.
But then Jesse says, Mr. White, I'm out too. I'm retiring. But Walt comes back on them with, okay, we've got 1,000 gallons of meth. It's worth $300 million. But they can get out for $5 million each, two-thirds of the meth. They want to sell Kelly, and they will each get $5 million. And it will also eliminates a lot of problems. It eliminates all these legacy costs that Walt would just have gone because Mike's going to take care of them. But Walt doesn't like it because you're going to be selling to my competitors.
Right. And he says, well, that's in Phoenix. It's a big country. Don't worry about it. But, you know, the whole stay out of my territory, he doesn't like it.
Yeah, it's another way that Mike's wrong, because that's Declan, the guy they're selling to, doesn't want them around either. He wants the exact same thing for his side of it.
Right.
So, I don't know. It was it's just Mike slipping a little bit more here. And then Jesse says, are we in the meth business or the money business? And we'll hear a pretty cool statement from Walt in a minute about he's in the empire business. But they go to meet Declan, and they show up with $15,000 worth of methylamine in that gallon of milk jug. Shows you pretty clearly how much that stuff is, how valuable that stuff is, huh?
Right, but I always thought it was odd that they had it on top of the car in that flimsy milk container. Because it just seems like if it got a hole in it, or I don't know, it just seemed like as much money as they're talking.
Yeah, just something so valuable that like a cup of it would be worth $1,200 or something. Yeah,
just seemed careless to me.
Yeah. Now, Kelly, I was really worried about Declan at first. I thought he was the ending demon of this, because we didn't know at this point, right? We're at 506. There's what, another 10, 12 episodes. We didn't know how this thing was going to end, and I thought Declan was going to have a big part of it.
I really did too, and they were calling him the Wolverine because he kind of looks like the Wolverine. But yeah, I thought he would have a bigger part too.
Yeah, he kind of peters out, but he does look ominous kind of here at the first meeting.
Right.
But anyway, that's the deal. They're going to sell their two-thirds for $5 million each. And Mike says, don't worry, they're way out in Phoenix. It's a big world. That they won't compete with you and all that. So I guess we've already gone past this, huh? Declan?
Well, Declan's saying, I want to buy it all because I just want be glad the blue stuff's off the market. And Mike doesn't say anything. So, yeah, both of those egos are competing.
Exactly. Declan says 666 gallons doesn't seem right. You know, why is that 2/3 of 1,000 gallons? Where's the other third? He catches it. He catches the math. And then he lays down the law. Okay, I'll give you 15,000 a gallon, but only for the 1,000 gallons.
Right.
So I thought this was brilliant too, Kelly. Just great writing by Gilligan. He puts the pressure on that they can't just bail out. Now they need Walt to sell. He ties up that loose end really, really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, always finds a way where they're going to need him somehow.
So all this produces a call now because they need Walt, and it produces a call by Jesse and eventually a meeting with Walt and Jesse at Walt's house. At Walt's house with Walt being in FU mode totally. Jesse tries to talk Walt into it, kind of knows that Walt's not going to like it, but he tries to talk him into it. But you know what, Kelly? Walt's not there. It's Heisenberg. Heisenberg's sitting in that chair.
Absolutely. And that ugly green structure thing. Their house, the way it's decorated, has always been a distraction to me. But, yeah, it's interesting how things are so different than the beginning where he's just going to have him come over. You know?
Right. That's why I say FU mode. I don't care who sees you. Just come over. We'll talk it out.
Right.
But then Walt / Heisenberg tells him the gray matter story. I don't think Walt... Kelly, here's a philosophical question, too. Do you think Walt evolved into Heisenberg, or do you think Heisenberg was always in him and was awakened during this show?
That's a good question. Part of me, when I see him in the beginning, when he's just kind of that weak guy, but then when he says that he got cancer, I'm awake for the first time... but I don't know if it was always in him or if it was, it was just a, I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think it was always in him. Remember the scene when they showed Walt and Skylar, they were looking at their house for the first time when they were trying to buy the house and Skylar was pregnant. And Walt was the hotshot Sandia guy. He was Heisenberg. That was Heisenberg in him there. And, you know, he showed some of it with Gus, and he showed some of it when he was back with, what's her name? His first girlfriend from Grey Matter.
Gretchen.
I think he was always a bit of Heisenberg, and it just kind of awakened a little bit, you know, as the season went forward, as the series went forward.
Right, and I like how he gives us a little information on Grey Matter and how he named it and that he gave it away for $5,000 for a month's rent or something and his kid's birthright, and now it's worth billions, and he checks it every week, so... You know, he doesn't want to give up this empire like he did last time. You can just tell that he's just dead set on he's not going to sell. It doesn't matter if $5 million is a lot or not. To Jesse, it's a lot, but not to Walt and his pride.
Yeah, $5,000, a couple months' rent.
Yeah, I can't stand that I blame him either because at this point he's starting to enjoy it. And he killed Gus. That's got to be a huge ego boost for him.
Jesse, you asked me. In the meta business or the money business. Neither. I'm in the empire business.
So that pretty much says it all. He doesn't care about his $700,000 that he wanted not even a year ago, right? He's not even a year into this, and he's already needing, man, $5 million's not enough, like $700,000's not enough. He needs this $300 million now, this whole empire. It's pretty great how he doesn't care about the $700,000 anymore or the $5 million he could get instantly and just, like, get out of it and retire. He's worried about this empire now, $300 million he could have had by making all the meth, Fleming into meth. And, you know, he's like, why does he want an empire?
Well, I think because he had to go to Gretchen and Elliot's birthday party and have to explain that he's a mere teacher amongst all these other people. And he has always regretted giving away gray matter, per se, and getting really no credit for it. And he's not doing it again. And I can't say that I blame him.
I can blame him. He's doing too much math, Kelly. He's looking at Grey Matter's worth $2.16 billion with a B. But who cares? He can make his family safe and happy with what he's already got and walk away. I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. You know, he's already addicted to it. Like, he kept trying to say, I'm just doing it for the family, and then he admits it does it for him. You know, it's an ego thing. He's enjoying it. What's he going to do when he gets $5 million? Go sailing? I mean, he's getting a kick out of all of this.
Go die.
Well, I don't think he'd like that option.
All right, well, we see some Jesse meets Skylar with some much-needed comic relief at this point. And I think I read this is the second time they've met, right, in the series?
Yeah, and she's, I'm Skylar White, yo. I'm Walter White's wife, yo, way back in the first season.
Oh, yeah, she walked through his gate. He's like, what are you doing in my house?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite scenes, comedic-wise. Aaron Paul's acting is off the charts. This is such an awkward dinner, and the way that he just keeps sucking down that ice water. You're right, it was a much-needed comedy relief for all the death and things that have been happening.
Yeah, Walt's drinking his whiskey, Skylar's drinking a big bottle of wine, and Jesse's drinking water and complimenting Skylar on everything, green beans, and how did she make them so delicious, and she tells him where she went to the store and bought them. That was awesome.
Yeah, and then he's talking about how he microwaves lasagna and it reminds him of a scab and just everything he can do to just look idiotic. You know, here Skylar's meeting him really for the first time in person at a dinner, and he just acts like a stupid teenager in a way, but so cute. I love Jesse.
Jesse does his best, but Skylar just mows him down. And with all that talk, too, about the affair. Did Walt tell you about my affair with? Like, how's he gonna stand up to that? Come on, it's not playing fair.
Yeah, he's trying to like butter her up. Like, oh, Walt talks about all good about you when we do talk about you, and oh yeah, well, did he tell you about my affair? And the way that she grabs her wine and clinks her glass and walks away is beautiful.
Yeah, she asks if she can be excused, like real sarcastically. And Jesse drinking his water and looking at both of them while he's still drinking. That is just iconic.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, so, but Walt did this for a reason, right, Kelly? He did it to prove to Jesse that this is all I have. I don't have a family. Look at my wife. Look how she treats me. This empire deal is all I have left.
Right, exactly. That's why I can understand why he wants to keep going. It's a pride thing. It's really all that he has.
So Walt goes straight from here to try to grab the meth tank, the big tank from the train car. But Mike catches him. Mike's in wait for him. He knows what he's up to. And they're going to take care of Walt's share. They know they need all 15, or all 1,000 gallons, $15 million worth, or it's no deal. So they're going to sell it all together and give him his $5 million, and they're all three going to be out. So Mike's going to sit and watch Walt all night in kind of a mirror scene of Kubi and Huel watching Ted until the check clears. But Kelly, in the most inexplicable diversion in TV history, Mike needs to go somewhere. Where does he need to go and leave Walt alone, and what the hell?
Well, I really do like the fact when the scene opens that Mike's already got Walt's number. He knows that Walt's going to come in there and try to steal that methylamine. And yeah, you got to wonder what is so important that Mike has to leave. But we find out he's got a meeting with the DEA. But yeah, the way that he ties him up is kind of ridiculous.
So do you think Mike would have gotten arrested or something if he showed up like 2 hours late? Or I mean, he stayed up all night to watch him and take care of this such an important thing, and he's almost out, but he leaves him.
Well, I think job as a prior police officer, he knows what's going to look suspicious and what's not, and he probably had a meeting. You know, they had a certain time that he had to be there. And he just had to go.
Yeah, I thought that was a weak part of this script. But Walt uses science, welding science, to escape from the zip tie handcuff that he's got on his radiator, holding him to the radiator.
Yeah, and I have to say here, I did a fun fact about this the other day, is that when it shows him burning his wrist to get out of that, that was actually a total fake arm with a hand that they used, and they molded it with the freckles and the hair to match his skin tone. So it was pretty interesting if you see the behind the scenes how they did that.
Pretty good details, yeah, to match his arm exactly.
Yeah.
So then we do see Saul and Mike and them at the DEA. And Saul's filed a temporary restraining order against the DEA for stalking my client, which is pretty funny. He's just a senior citizen. You can't stalk him. He's going to the park with his granddaughter.
Saul comes up with some doozies.
Yeah, I thought on my first watch, I thought Saul made that up because he talked about the judge who doesn't like senior citizens being stalked. But I think he really did get a temporary order. He says it's not going to hold up for very long, but you have like 24 hours.
Yeah, he calls him a senior citizen, which was funny. But yeah, he does, because he says, you know, that just bought you about 24 hours to get what you need to get done. So leave it up to Saul Goodman to come up with something as crazy as a restraining order against the DEA and have it be successful.
So, Kelly, let's reflect a little bit on Mike here and Saul. Mike, I think this is a product of the show, characters in the show growing big that kind of got unexpectedly big on Vince Gilligan. Because remember, Mike was his first role was Saul's cleaner. He was like the Mr. Wolf cleaner for Saul. He cleaned up the heroin problem with Jane and Jesse.
Correct.
But then he got really big as Gus got big. I don't think Gilligan expected Gus to get as big as he did. And then Mike had to get big because he was like his chief of security. So now Mike's really big. He's not just a cleaner. He's like a big enforcer guy for Gus. And now he's just this big, huge character. But he's back with Saul again. So it was a little unusual to see him with Saul, being his lawyer, that he's a big player now. He's not just a cleaner in this role.
Right, and they're gunning for him because they can tell that he, you know, he was the chief security for Gustavo, and now they're on to Gustavo, so they know that he's got some corrupt role in all of this.
Yeah, just really interesting how the characters grew for the writing team. Gilligan and his writing team probably grew bigger than they expected.
Right, exactly. I'm sure that Jonathan Banks, when he started this, didn't expect to be on a spinoff show with Bob Odenkirk called Better Call Saul. I mean, this thing just, it really did grow. And his role, you're right, he did start off with being the cleaner because they couldn't have Saul Goodman do it. That doesn't make sense. That's how they started him in the first place.
I think it's a really good sign for Saul's show because our first impression is, okay, what can they do with this clown lawyer Saul? They can't make a series out of that. But I think they can. They can grow. They've grown these other characters even bigger than they thought. That this could really be something that even they don't know what it's going to be in the long run.
This show, Better Call Saul, is going to be so good. And all the research that I've done, and all the, you know, we've all seen the trailers and everything, and come to find out that the colors are going to be another factor, just like Breaking Bad, and it's going to be kind of a transformation from how Jimmy McGill became Saul Goodman. It's going to be all good. If it's Vince Gilligan and they've got like 80% of the staff and writers, it's just going to be a winner. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it'll be good too, but I'm just going to be super interested to see why it'll be good, how they make it good. So, yeah, this one winds down. They get back to Vominos. The meth is gone. Walt stashed it away somewhere. Mike's really mad, of course, at Walt. And Walt just super calmly states, everybody's going to win. I'm going to give you more than your $5 million. Just relax and let it roll. So, but once again, the writers have stamped this time factor onto it that Mike only has about 24 hours before the law is going to come down on him because of this restraining order. And he'd rather have his $5 million in cash, but he has no choice. He has to wait and see what happens. But this time constriction, it really makes it more tense.
Right. And then once again, we've got Walt, who's playing this strategic chess game. And, you know, he manages to make it where they need him. And now they manage to make it where he gets to cook again. They can't have their money. And And the things that he does, the strategies he uses are amazing and nothing that I ever expect.
Yeah, it seems like that's happening more and more. Time pressures are more and more intense, and things are happening more quickly now with shorter time windows. It's just like he did with the train tank, getting the last few drops of methylamine out of that tanker car in the train right up to the very last second, to the point where Jesse's life was even in danger. But that use of time was very, very cool by the writers. But that was it for 506 Buyout. You can find our other podcasts on our West Coast Project website. Better Call Saul is going to start in a couple weeks. Kelly's doing a lot of fun facts for both Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. Kelly, what are your websites for those?
Breaking Bad Fun Facts and Better Call Saul Fun Facts on Instagram. And then I've got a separate Facebook called Breaking Bad Fun Facts, and that's on Facebook.
Okay, and you can reach us on Twitter. My Twitter is @scathingtweets. And Kelly, what's yours?
BRBA_funfacts.
All right, so that's it for 506 Buyout. Next time we'll do 507 Say My Name. And until then, Kelly, I'll look forward to doing Say My Name with you.
I love that one. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.